For today's special service of repentance and forgiveness, we have here your own son, former chaplain of this great church, Akari Church. Currently is the parish priest of Christ Anglican Church, University of Ghana, Legon, and also the vice president of Trinity Theological Seminary, Legon. Beloved the Lord, by the grace of God, by his grace alone, we have the vessel prepared by the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts in the person of the Venerable Dr. George Kote Nikwe.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with you for the special day, a day we have set aside to come before you to ask for cleansing and to ask for the way forward as we try to clear the debt on that magnificent hall. As we meditate on your word, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, let the Holy Spirit speak to us, Lord. And Father, when you speak through the Holy Spirit to us, help us also to put into practice what you ask us to do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. First of all, I want to thank the clergy and council for inviting me to the Accra Ridge Church on this special occasion of yours. It's been a long time since I came around, and I'm very happy to be here. I miss you a lot. Matthew chapter 13. 44 to 46. The kingdom of God is likened to a treasure hidden in a field that someone found. He sold everything he had in order to acquire it. Again, Jesus compared the kingdom of God to a merchant looking for fine pearls. He found one of great value in a particular place and sold everything he had and bought it. The theme for this message is the kingdom of God should not be bought with a loan. The kingdom of God should not be bought with a loan. Everywhere in the world around us are people taking out loans. Our whole economy would collapse without credits. Government is borrowing. Industrial corporations are borrowing. And private industries are borrowing. America is borrowing. Credit has been used in Ghana to the extent that we were designated highly indebted poor country, HIPIC. If we lack the funds for a certain project, we believe that it is not wrong to get a loan as long as we can make the monthly payments. This is what credit institutions along. Most churches, unfortunately, have no different attitude towards debt. Church leaders think that they do God's will when they finance building projects through loans. Usually, church members do not question this practice because the individual members have taken out loans themselves to buy a car or a house. This all sounds very plausible. However, we need to re-examine our attitude toward and our understanding of debt. But some say, since there is no command from God that forbids churches to borrow money, it is permissible to go into debt. And since it is permissible, it is wrong to take an exclusive, extreme position in this matter. But what do the scriptures really say about the matter of debt? Can it be God's will for any church to acquire debt? From the gospel read to us, Jesus gave two illustrations of men who wanted to buy expensive items. Although neither man had enough money to make the purchases, neither man borrowed any money. Instead, the men sold what they had. With the money from the sale, they bought what they wanted. The kingdom of God is compared to a treasure hidden in the field, which someone found, or it was compared to a merchant who found pearls of great value. Because the items were very precious to them, they sold all they had in order to buy them. The kingdom of God is worth everything you have or I have. It is worth your life. It is worth your car. It is worth your house. It is worth your children. It is worth your grandchildren. It is worth your clothing. And of course, it is worth your shoes. The kingdom of God is worth everything we have. From the context of the passage above, the kingdom is supposed to be the foremost thing we must be thinking about in our lives. No one wants to die, but everyone must legitimately be willing to lay down their lives in order to enter into the kingdom of God. It is the most treasured place to go ever. Therefore, anything we are called upon to do to contribute to our entrance into the kingdom of God or to promote the kingdom of God here on earth must be done without a blink of our eyes. The kingdom of God should therefore not be bought with a loan, but with our life savings. In fact, our short lives here on earth must be lived constant mindful of our next life in the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Our lives must be lived in constant investment of majority of our funds and possessions in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man, like a woman, if
he or she shall gain the whole world and lose his or her own soul? Or shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8, 36 to 37. If we will live fruitful lives, our monies and our properties must be used in such a way that they will promote the kingdom of God here on earth. Like the first church in the book of Acts, Christians must be willing to give the best of what they have for the sake of the kingdom of God. Listen to this from Acts chapter 2, 44 to 47. All the guests were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord to their number, those who were being saved. They sold property and possessions to support each other just for the sake of the kingdom of God, or just for the love they have for Christ. No wonder that the man who found the treasure in the field and the merchant who found pearls of great value sold everything they had to acquire them. Now, are the things of the kingdom worth buying with a loan? The foregoing, is it wise to build the things of the kingdom with a loan from a financial institution? Our relationship with God and the things of God are so important and precious that we must be willing to give all we have to maintain them. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that is what I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Psalm 27 verse 4. In modern language, he may say, "I want to be in church all the time to continually experience the power and love of God." The most important thing for him is to be in the presence of God forever. The building of the temple was so important for David that he set aside a lot of his own property and put it into its construction. Listen to this from 1 Chronicles 29, 3, 5. "In my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today?" The building of the temple of God was also so important for the people of Israel that they also responded by giving generously towards its construction. 1 Corinthians 29, 6, 8. "Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents, 1,000 denarii of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasurer of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Geshonite." We all know that God created the earth and therefore everything. He created human beings, then created everything and handed them over to humans. I quote, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air. And over every living creature that moves on the ground. Genesis 1:28. Whatever we have belong to God. We are therefore stewards of God's creation, God's property. How come then that God will owe a financial institution? How come then that we decided to build for God? That when we decided to build for God, we went to borrow money. If God owns everything, and we agree to that fact, then he never needs financial debts. God should never owe a bank. If anything at all, we humans should owe banks, not God. Jesus himself tells us in Matthew 6:31-33, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto it. Paul said in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Deuteronomy 28:1-2, verse 12, verse 15, then 43, God's word says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you this day, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Verse 12, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. We may have various reasons why we owe people or financial institutions, but technically, because of the blessings of God upon our lives, we are not supposed to owe anyone. The above passage implies that we should rather be lending to others. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. Deuteronomy 28:12b. This is not a message to crumble the businesses of financial institutions. Far from it. There may be very good reasons why you need to borrow for yourself or for your business, but definitely there is no imperative reason why we should borrow for God. If you yourself, by all means, need to borrow, the best advice is to try to pay the loan as quickly as possible. But is it always possible that way? The principle of taking a loan for God is obnoxious and distasteful, and therefore may attract punishment to all those involved in the acquisition of the loan for the things of God. Moses said to the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 28:15-43, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come on you, and the foreigners who reside among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. They will lend to you, but you will not lend to them. They will be the head, but be the tail. If borrowing from this context appears to be a curse for not giving your heart fully to God, then imagine the testimony we are giving about the power of God to provide by taking loans for things of the kingdom. Have we not been told by Christ that the things of the kingdom is worth paying with our lives? You may have very good intentions for taking a loan for God, but that will not cancel the fact that you are disgracing and reducing the power of God, even making God a liar for promising that he will supply all needs. If God has the means to supply all our needs, including the needs of his own church, can we have any justifiable reasons to borrow for him? The Machiavellian principle that the end justifies the means is certainly not taught in the Word of God. If this principle were true, then we could give bribes for contracts and get money out of it, or go and steal money or deal in drugs and thereby boost our outreach program with these newly found resources. The motive, however good, does not justify the means of financing. If a church going into debt is wrong in itself, then no good purpose can make it right. This is not to deny that our motives are important. The Bible certainly teaches that in addition to doing the right thing, we also need to have the right motivation. However, we also find in the Bible that we may not do a wrong thing for whatever right reason. Now, let us consider the state of the borrower. First, whether we like it or not, borrowing results in bondage to creditors or to financial institutions. The very nature of going into debt. Hebrew words for borrow mean to twine, to unite, to borrow, and figuratively to entangle. Scripture warns in Proverbs 22 verse 7 that the borrower is a servant to the lender. Imagine God being a servant to a bank. Second, borrowing devours resources through high interest payments. Most people who borrow money do not comprehend the final price tag of going into debt because they think only in terms of monthly payments. They typically think of the interest as a small amount, but in the end, interest payments pile up. The final cost of the loan is often several times greater than the initial price of the item. Does it then mean that we at times borrow out of impatience? This is a serious question that we may have to go with. When I was here as a chaplain, I borrowed money to buy a house. It's here 2002, about 13 years ago, and I'm still paying for the house. And all I'm paying now is the compound interests, which is many times more than the actual amount of the house. If we do not have money for something, it may be that God is saying, wait or no. It is far better to wait for God to provide over time rather than to borrow money to make the purchase. If I had been patient and began building 13 years ago, perhaps I will not be owing any financial institution today. God calls us to be good stewards of money and to be faithful in managing small amounts as well as large amounts. Luke 16, 10 and 11, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the righteous self, who will trust the truth? true riches. Third, borrowing evades self-examination. God reason for withholds the signal to re-evaluate our decisions and put our faith in Him. Practically, borrowing when we need the opportunity for often proceed in our own efforts. Fourth, it interferes with God's provision to demonstrate His supernatural power. As eyes for our needs, He exposes people place in their own wisdom and flow throughout to be strong in the behalf of them who Him. We have managed to do this in church to help God achieve His magnificent building. But that need help when we build help alone. If this and in the proof to the world has a need to build Samuel and when of Nakon put out his hand of God was kindled and died inside the ark. And that was but because he did the thing, he touched the ark of God. In Exodus 25, 12 to 15, and Numbers 4, 5 to 6, and verse 15, instructions are given on how the ark of God was to be moved. A quote, when Aaron and his sons have made of covering sanctuary, themselves of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, the sons of Kohath shall come to bear, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. Instructions were not followed. The ark should not have been placed on the carts. The Levites should have carried it on their shoulders. The priests and Levites have known the Lord. Lack of knowledge and good intentions did not protect Uzzah. He died because of, even though he meant to keep the ark sliding off the carts. Along with the right, we have to do the right thing. My investigation that the amount the church owes the ark is almost 4.5 million Ghana cedis. Are we going to get out of this debt we have? Do not be a victim. Don't blame others, writing their responsibilities in debt. Usually, it's in debt and faith. What should we do in our current situation to appease God, to remove what we have brought of God, such remove over our heads? Think about the state of Israel and Nehemiah to go and build the wall of Jerusalem. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men and asked about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates stained with fire. When I heard these things, I went down and wept and fasted for the God of heaven. For they said, Lord of heaven, the gracious God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. I confess the sins we Israelites, myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. The instruction your servant Moses, if you are faithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my command, even your exiled people, father's horizon, them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling place for my name. The wall of Jerusalem is a symbol of protection from God over the Israelites. It deters the nations from attacking the Israelites and gives a sense of protection from God to the people. God was therefore betrayed when God remained unbuilt. Until it is built, it remains a bad testimony about the God of Israel. The people living in Jerusalem at that time of Nehemiah may know the implications of the broken wall, but it was a very difficult task to embark on. almost an impossible task. It took someone who believes it could be done to galvanize the whole assembly of Israel to build what earlier they had seen as an impossible task. Can the members of the Accra Reach Church clear this loan, which appears to be so huge that it is impossible to clear it as quickly as possible? Is it impossible to clear the loan and continue on a clean slate? Possible to remove the disgrace we have brought upon God? Is anything too hard for God? Look at the blessing God has bestowed on you and see what all of you can do to clear the loan quickly and finish the work. Any building for God is a show of the power of God to provide. Unbelievers look at it or come into it and marvel at the power of God to provide. And subsequently, that building acts as a source of evangelism. What you have here is a magnificent building, a testimony that God is capable of doing anything. But until the loan is cleared, you technically keep God in bondage in quotes, and betray the God to provide. We have had visions and prophecies in this church pointed to the fact that we sin. In fact, that is why today we want to repent. Thank God, the purpose of today's service is to repent and ask for forgiveness from God. Today, we want God to remove the curse we brought upon ourselves by bullying for him, thus bringing him down so low. What are you going to do as a church to pay this loan as quickly as possible? The blessings upon yourselves, your businesses, and your families. I suggest that as soon as possible, you organize a fundraising to raise funds to erase these debts. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for God. On my own, I decided to bring people together to build a church Dodua community. Big church, the shortest possible time it was built and over to them. There is nothing impossible to the one who believes that in God there is nothing impossible. Let us take the bull by the horn and clear it to the praise and glory of his holy name. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, Amen. We will enter into a time of prayer at this time.